Over the years, I've read some stories about military soldiers who were POWs. If you go back and you look at some of the tales, you find that there are some things in common, at least in years past. You find that there are some points of commonality as far as how men passed the time, how they were treated during their captivity. You find that unlike people who are often confined in prison today, many times, at least prisoners in the past, did not have access to a Bible. Because in the past, people did know a reasonable amount of scripture, it's been reported that they often would gather together and one man would say, well, I know these verses in the Bible. And another man would say, well, I know these verses in the Bible. And another would say, well, I'm familiar with these verses. And one of the things that they did sometimes while they were in enemy hands was reconstruct as much of the Bible as they possibly could. That was possible because in the past, people often memorized various parts of the Bible. There are also stories about prisoners who were in solitary confinement, not a very pleasant place to be. And yet, as soldiers were in this type of environment, they knew Morse code, and they would take encouraging Bible verses that they had memorized, and they would tap out those verses in Morse code and encourage their fellow prisoners. Earlier generations of people, and again, this is not limited to military people, earlier generations often memorized the Bible. True of preachers and true of those who were not preachers. Today, as we look at the religious world and even in the church, we find that Bible memorization is not what it once was. A great thing for any Bible class teacher to do is to memorize as much of God's Word as possible. That will help teachers teach in class after class. It is also a very useful thing to do, even if we never teach a Bible class. Now, when we think about memorization, I know a lot of folks, you know, kind of smile and shake the head a little bit and say, well, hey, that's just not my thing. If you knew my memory, you would not talk to me about memorizing the Bible. It's kind of like trying to recall names. There are some who just don't seem to have much skill in that particular department. It's possible, and I think a number of Christians might reason, well, you know, I can't remember where I put my car keys an hour ago. How on earth will I possibly remember passages from the Bible? Well, we do sometimes struggle with various things as far as memory, but the truth is, all of us can work on and all of us can have some success when it comes to memorizing various parts of the Bible. We can put into our memory a lot of information and have the ability to extract or to pull that information back when we need it. We can remember phone numbers. We can remember credit card numbers and bank account numbers. We can remember how to get from this particular place to that particular place. And we can remember a lot of different streets, sometimes in many different communities. We can remember the names of our friends and things that our friends have done. We can remember the names of our enemies and maybe things that our enemies have done. Much of our daily lives involve memory. We function that particular way. And when we realize that, when we think about that, we can then apply that information to Christianity, specifically trying to recall, put into our heads, some information from the Bible. Tonight, we want to consider some information related to memorizing or putting God's Word in our minds. The first point, I think, to begin with, is the realization that memorizing parts of the Bible is possible. It's something that can be done. Most of us, of course, are not going to be able to memorize a chapter in a single day or a chapter a night. Suppose, though, that we decide. In a single year, we're going to memorize 40 verses from the Bible. We make that a personal goal. You know, it's not going to be long before a new year begins, 2009. A lot of people are thinking about a new year's resolution. What can we do differently that's better than we did in 2008 or in previous years? A good goal for 2009, and we don't have to wait until that year begins, is to try to memorize more of the Bible than we already have committed to memory. If we are at least 12 years of age or older, it's very possible, very likely, that we can memorize 40 verses a year, year after year. That means, of course, that we're going to be memorizing less than one verse a week. Sometimes, as people think about, well, this is something that I might consider, how can I do it? One of the easiest ways is to pursue this course of action with a theme. We can look at various topics, various themes, various subjects, and we try to key in on verses that relate to that topic or that theme. For example, we might begin with the subject of salvation. If you've never memorized passages that deal with this particular topic, this is a good place to begin. We might, for example, memorize Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It is a passage that affirms that a person must have faith to please God. Without faith, we're not going to be pleasing to Him. We could also, as we think about passages to memorize that relate to salvation, tie in John 8, verse 24. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am He, you're going to die in your sins. That is a very simple, but a very key verse. As we think about memorization and the plan of salvation, Luke 13, 3 comes to mind. Jesus said, nay, I tell you, but except you repent, ye shall all in like manner perish. Repentance is also taught in Acts 17:30. It would be useful to look at passages which deal with confession, Acts 8, verse 37, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and also 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. We also find when we look at the plan of salvation that baptism is related to that. So as we think about our memory verses, Acts 2:38 would be a verse that we would want to be familiar with, that we would want to put in our minds. Mark 16:16, Galatians 3:27, and 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, among others. In just 2 to 3 months, we would have at any moment's notice a ready recollection of every critical verse that deals with the subject of salvation. Then as we continue to not only think about the passages that we've memorized, but we look for other verses, we could maybe concentrate on things that deal with New Testament worship and church organization. And once we get to the point where we've put those things into our minds, we could turn to things, key passages that relate to Christian living. What does God require of me to live a faithful Christian life? Then as we continue to memorize, we could deal with passages related to other doctrinal points. We have in our track record little reference cards. So the passages that we need to find, we don't even have to look those up. They're already out there and available. We simply need to take that information and see if we can transfer it from where it is on the card into our minds. Memorization is something that adults can do. And it's also something that they can teach their children about, and that's important to do as well. They may not try to memorize as much as we do, but when we think about children, memorization as far as biblical information is an excellent activity for them. Children as young as 3 or 4 can start to memorize things about the Bible. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, God told the Hebrews to train their children. And then he added a word. I want you to train your children, and I want you to train them diligently. That diligent instruction surely included some information about memorization. By the time a child is 5 years old, he or she has the mental capacity to memorize small chapters in the Bible. And this is a skill that our schools try to go ahead and emphasize with our children, but I'm persuaded it may not be a school, it may not be a skill that we in our Bible school program and in our homes also try to impart to our kids. We often have goals for our children, and those goals are great. But is one of our goals for our children or our grandchildren Bible memorization? Some families see that as important, and they try to have that as a regular part of their family life. There have been some cases where families have tried to encourage memorization through competition. Who can memorize the most, or who can memorize the longest passage, or who can memorize this for the following day? Families may challenge one another. The husband may challenge the wife may challenge the husband. Parents and children may challenge one another. Grandparents and grandchildren may challenge one another. This is also something that can be done with a local youth group. Our teens should somehow be involved with Bible memorization. They may use flashcards, they may write the verses down. There are a lot of different ways to go ahead and try to put that information from the Bible into our heads. The method really doesn't matter. What we're after here is a good end result. If effort is put forth in this regard, it will work. I'm reminded of what Paul said in Galatians 6, verse 9. In due season we will reap if we faint not. Now in Galatians 6, he's not talking about memorizing the scriptures, but this particular principle does relate to this particular topic. If we invest time and energy into this particular activity, it will be productive. It will also help fulfill part of God's will. We've often said within the church that we are not entitled to look at God's will and say, well, I like these verses, or these commands are fine with me, or these commands are easy to fulfill. And because they're easy, or because I agree with them, I'm going to do those things. But the commands over here that are hard, the commands over here that maybe that's not the way that I would have written God's word, we're going to go ahead and discard that information. We've rightly said that we can't do that. The Bible is a package deal. We take it all, or we end up really rejecting it all. When we look at what God wants us to do, part of that information in the scripture says that he wants us to put his memory, his word in our memory. Earlier I cited Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you back up one verse, going from Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, God said that he wanted his word to be on the hearts, or in the minds of his people. That's a way of saying that for the Jewish people, God intended for these individuals to have his word committed to memory. Have you ever stopped to think how many Jews under the Old Testament system were unfamiliar with the Ten Commandments or could not have quoted them? I suggest or submit that unless they were incapable of learning, either because there was a mental difficulty, or because they were too young to learn, an infant, it would have been very hard to have found a Jew that could not have listed every single one of the commandments. And that would have been true for many of the other Old Testament laws as well. This was how they thought and lived. David, for example, in Psalm 119, verse 11, said, "I've taken your word, God, and I've hidden it in my heart." That was simply a way of saying or expressing the fact that he had put to memory, committed to memory, God's word. Then he gave an explanation for why he did that. He said, "I have put your word into my mind so that I might not sin against you." Well, that has some bearing on some New Testament passages as far as why people do that. Paul told the Thessalonians, for instance, in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, that God's word, the scriptures, they work in people. Have we ever stopped to really consider the force of 1 Thessalonians 2:13 or Psalm 119, verse 11? If God's word is put into the mind of a person, it's going to work. Parents rear their children. And I think most parents want their children to make good and wise choices in life. As parents look at the other mistakes that sometimes children make, they think about their children. We do not want our kids to go down that particular path. We do not want our children to make those choices, those bad choices. Well, God has given us a great tool to help accomplish this. One of a parent's best weapons to help their child stay on the right path is God's word. We can put that information, we can help our children memorize God's word, and Paul says that that information is going to work. David had some help in this regard, and he said, "I've hidden that word in my heart. I've memorized it. I've committed it to memory, and that's going to help me avoid sinning against you." If we are a Bible class teacher, and we're trying to impart God's word, if we're trying to drill that into the minds of people, we are doing one of the greatest works that can possibly be done. We're trying to help mold minds. We're trying to help form characters. That with that word that we give to our young people, that will often affect the people that we teach for many years to come, for a lifetime, literally. Children, as they go through their lives, they will see opportunities to do evil, to be involved with what's wrong, but oftentimes because that Bible was put into their heart, because that information was implanted into their minds, they will remember what's right. And in many cases, they will also do what's right. In many instances, the scriptures that they learn will allow them to choose good over evil. Bible class teachers, parents, and grandparents can have a huge, huge impact on the decisions that people make. You know, that's not only true for children. It's also true for adults. Adults, as we go through lives, we're put into various situations where we are tempted to do what's wrong. If we've taken God's word and we've committed that to memory, the information that we have in our heads will also help us choose what's right. God's word helps us make the right choices, but that's not all. Putting God's word into our mind also enriches our life. I selected for tonight's reading Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It's the only passage that I'm going to read, but it's a very relevant passage. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night." In other words, Joshua, I want you to take my word, and I want you to commit it to memory. I want you to think about these things and be very familiar with them. Then he says that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then, if you put my word in your mind, God said, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then you put your word into my mind, thou shalt have good success. Suppose that we had somebody get on national TV and say, there is a way, there is information that will allow you as an individual to do well in life. And this is made known to people, and people, you know, sit up and pay attention, and they say, well, hey, is there really something that I can memorize, that I can commit to my mind that will make me rich and successful? If they believe that particular advertisement, I submit that people would sign up in droves, and whatever it is that they had to memorize, they would do that. Because again, they're thinking, this is going to benefit me. This is going to be very, very useful. Well, this is essentially the promise that was given to Joshua. Now, God was not promising to make this man a millionaire, but he was saying, Joshua, if you take my word, and if you commit that to memory, you're going to have a good life. That principle is still true. If we have in our minds what the word of God says, we will make the best choices time and time again. We're going to have the best friendships that we can possibly have in life because the Bible is guiding the way that we live. We're going to get along well in our workplace, in our homes, and in our neighborhoods. Our lives are going to be very good in other respects as well. Paul picked up on this same idea in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. You may remember there that as he spoke to the Philippians, he said, there are some things about which you need to think. Think on these things. And he gives a list. Think on the things that are true, lovely, of good report, those kinds of things. You know, as you look at people in life, you find that they often put to memory, they often commit to memory things that are evil. They will put in their minds the exact words that someone has said to them, unkind words. And I know if you are at least 15 or 16, you've talked to somebody who said, let me tell you what they told me. And they can recite it word for word. Have you ever heard somebody say that? All of us have. They committed that information to memory. They will have memorized who said those words. They will have memorized when those words were said. They will memorize how those words were said. And they will memorize under what circumstances those words were said. And they will recall who else heard those words and all the various details about how they were wronged. Our memories work. But oftentimes they work in the wrong way. We try to remember the things that are wrong instead of, Paul says in Philippians verse 8, the things that are right and good. If we will commit God's word to memory and let that work, 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13, our head will be filled with good things instead of evil things. Memorize what will help and bless us instead of what will gnaw at us and destroy us. We need to work on memorizing God's word, because Paul also reminds us that this is part of the Christian armor. Ephesians 6 verse 17 says that the helmet of salvation consists of the scriptures. You know, we may have a copy of the Bible in our home, and it's a nice copy, but that copy of God's word is not going to be a very good helmet. We may have multiple copies of the Bible, many different translations, but owning those multiple copies is not going to be enough. For us, a true helmet, what we really need as far as protection and help with temptation is God's word in our minds. That's really where the rubber meets the road. It's knowledge that we fully absorb. We have it in our heads to the point where it literally becomes part of us. We become as familiar with it as we know our phone number or the place where we live, our address. We remember computer passwords and usernames and email addresses and websites, all those things. God tells us, God reminds us that we need to know his word inside and out. That's why Paul, as he wrote to the Colossians in Colossians 3, verse 16, says, let the word of God, that is the Bible, dwell in you. Now, we often cite this particular passage when we think about instrumental music, and it is an appropriate passage for that particular reason. But there's more in Colossians 3, verse 16, that information on the type of worship we're to have as far as singing. God also says, take my word and let that word dwell in you. Now, if that's all Paul had said, that would be significant. Let the scriptures dwell in you. Let the mind memorize. Let the mind contemplate those things. But Paul went on and said something else. Do not only let the word of God dwell in you, but let it dwell in you richly. That's a way of saying that our mind should overflow with the scriptures. Previous generations were apparently taught that point, or they understood that point, and they applied that information. They applied it to the point where young soldiers, 18, 19, 20, 25, they were off fighting a foreign war. They were captured. And as the enemy held them in confinement, they were able to put together large sections of the Bible because they had taken the time, or they had learned God's word and they had put it to memory. But as we look at the last 1 to 2 generations, we find by and large that a lot of people have not done nearly as well with Bible memorization. If that trend continues, we expect that succeeding generations are also not going to do very well. Paul told Timothy that he had known the scriptures from the time that he was a young child, from a babe. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. Thou hast known the sacred writings, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. It's information that can be communicated to the young. It was in that day and time when the teaching things that they had were not nearly as nice and sophisticated as they are now. Many of us have heard parents or grandparents praise children. We've heard how various children are able to do this task or that task better before other children. We hear how they can read better, they can read longer, they can read faster, or they can read bigger words, or hear all the things that they can memorize. But as you think about the conversations that people have had with you that describe how well a child is doing in this area or that area, how long has it been since a parent said to you, my child has memorized this section or this chapter of the Bible? I hardly hear that. I've heard almost everything else praised, but rare is it when a parent or a grandparent says, my child is memorizing the Bible. Do we not recognize, do we not realize that that is the only thing that really has eternal value? Peter said, 1 Peter 3, verse 15, sanctify Christ in your heart as Lord. The way that we really need to do that is through Bible memorization. We need to know that word, and we need to put it into our minds. If we do not really know the Bible well, there's never going to be a better time to start than now. It is a problem. It's a problem that needs to be corrected, And as we mentioned earlier in the lesson, the beginning point is salvation. We've got to know how to become a Christian. And if we don't know, we're certainly not going to be able to share that information with others. And that's another responsibility that Jesus says we have. If we do know, have we obeyed that knowledge? If we put into our minds how to become a Christian, have we obeyed that information? We know we have faith, but have we put to practice repentance, acknowledging that Christ is going to be the Lord of our life, He is the Son of God, and have we been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins? If so, are we then continuing to live the best Christian life that we can? And that includes trying to put God's word into our head every single week. We hope that you've made the right choices and you're continuing to make the right choices. But if not, and tonight we can help you correct something in your life, either as a Christian, or we can help you start the process by converting to Christ, by becoming one of His children. Tonight we stand ready to help you in any possible way. And we'd like to encourage you as we stand and sing the selected song.
And my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own, it shall be Thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at its feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for Thee.
Be seated, please. If you haven't had an opportunity to partake the Lord's Supper, you can come to the front and be served at this time.
Is the table still prepared for the ones not able to be with us this morning? I'd like to take a moment as we look back on the cross and read the words to song number 720 as we focus our minds back. Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did He choose a lowly birth? Because He loved me so. Why did He drink the bitter cup of sorrow, pain, and woe? Why on the cross be lifted up? Because He loved me so. Till Jesus comes, I'll sing His praise and then to glory go and reign with Him through endless days because He loved me so. He loved me so, He loved me so. He gave His precious life for me because He loved me so. Brian, give thanks.
I thank You that we could be with each other tonight, again, to have an opportunity to use these emblems to remember Jesus. We pray Your blessing on this bread, that it can bring back to memory the body that was given for us. Through Jesus that we pray.
Dear Lord, as we continue our thoughts back on the cross, we're thankful for this fruit of the vine. It represents your son shed blood on the cross. Pray that ones participating this evening will partake of that in a worthy manner pleasing unto thee. We thank thee for your son Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Collection plate will be left up here for anybody wishing to contribute.
If you can stay afterwards for a little while, there'll be a visitation meeting following the closing prayer. Any other announcements we should make before we close? Okay, let's sing together the first verse of 382. Let's stand as we sing this song, and then Brother Jeff Burt will lead our closing prayer. 382.
In loving kindness Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, through grace he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me, from shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name, he lifted me.
Shall we bow? Dear God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time we could be together this evening. It's been good to be here and to hear another lesson from thy word. We pray that we would be here each and every time the doors are open as an opportunity and not as an obligation. We want to be here with our brothers and sisters in Christ and to learn more about your will for our lives. We pray as parents that we would be good examples to our children and those around about.
Peter, Tom Conrad,
Dan Garcia, cheap anytime, but depending on what kind of nuts you get. That's cool. Thank you.